If you mark 3:22, open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Remember the story of Ruth, Moabitess that married a Jew whose father had moved the family. You remember what happened to that family? The father, both sons, died. And so here's Ruth as a young widow who comes back to her mother-in-law's homeland. Two widows that show up, no husbands, no sons, and all the things that would have made life so difficult at that time. And you know the work that she did, the work ethic that she had, how she got the attention of a man named Boaz. And in verse 12 of chapter 2, Boaz, after having recognized her and having seen qualities about her, says this, Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, "The Lord will repay your work, and a full reward be given to you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to trust." And that tells us so much about her. How is it that she maintained such a wonderful godly spirit? It's her trust was in God. And the situation that she found herself in didn't take away that trust. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. David is king. And a lot of things have happened early on in that king in his reign. Absalom has led a rebellion. Absalom, his own son, leads a rebellion against him. And then he goes through the mourning of the death of his son in the course of that rebellion. Not long after that, right on the coattails of Absalom's rebellion, there was a man named Sheba who led a rebellion. So David's having to put that down. If you look in chapter 21, the first verse, 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine that lasted 3 years. The point is that David's reign has not been roses and cupcakes. There's been a lot of things going on in his reign. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, "The God of my rock, in him I will trust." Ruth, in her trying situations, looks to God with complete trust and confidence. David, in all the things that he had to deal with while king, looks to God and never drops in his trust for him. Turn to Job chapter 13. Job 13. We don't have to mention all the things that Job went through. But remember, after having gone through that, his friends show up. And after being silent for a while, they basically just begin to just hound him. You know, what are you hiding? What kind of incredible sins have you committed that's made God punish you like this? And just pressing him. And in verse 15 of chapter 13, Job says, "Though he should slay me," talking of God, "I will trust in him." Newer translations say, "There's no other hope that I have other than him. He is my trust. He is my hope." So here's Job speaking to his friends. He's taken my health. He's taken my family. He's taken my possessions. Verse 15, "Should he take my life, my trust is in him. My hope, the only hope I have, is in him." We see the connection here? We could look at other examples, but there were some that were very, very clear. God's people at all times periods. Very likely Job would have been during the patriarchal age. We know that both Ruth and David during the law of Moses. We can turn to the New Testament and read about the sufferings that the apostles and the first century Christians had to undergo. And we can bring that right up to today. People in this assembly suffering from various things, various reasons. Some from health, some from family concerns. Innumerable number of reasons. But suffering's a part of our life. And you are faithful people during trying times. And it seems to be the thing that keeps them going is, "I trust you. I trust in my God." And that's what I want this lesson to be about, to encourage us and to build us up for when those trying times come, and they are coming, if they're not already here. But we can have the very same attitude that they did. We have probably all been told by various people, "Trust me. How many times has somebody told, trust me? Well, sometimes the people asking us to trust them are as if they told us this was the month of June, we'd get a calendar out to confirm that, because we do not trust them. They're not trustworthy people. Our God is. And what we're going to do is remind ourselves of how that is so. God is trustworthy. And if we can get a better sense of that, if we can a better grip on why we should be able to trust God in any setting that we find ourselves in, how many questions in our life ease up? How many anxieties in our life lose a little bit of their grip? If we can just get this idea, like Ruth had, and like David had, and like Job had, of trusting the one who created us. Let's look at some reasons that we can do that. Life is hard. It's going to get harder. And sometimes, Joseph, in one of the lessons this past week, talked about we keep our eyes above. In a chaotic world, we keep our eyes above. And someone might say, well, yeah, but it's hard to do that because my eyes are so, I just feel with pain. Hard to do that because my heart filled with so much grief and distress. How do I stay focused? Like Ruth and David and Job, we trust in the one who is greater than our problem. We trust in the one who is greater than the situation that we find ourselves in. And we can do that because he is trustworthy. We trust his promises. Look at the 118th Psalm. For those days when faith is running on fumes, and we've all been there. For those days when we just don't like what life is offering us, whether it be our suffering, or whether it be suffering that has moved into the realm of depression, or whether it has been suffering that has moved into the realm of anger, whether it's discouragement due to bad timing, or like David said, sometimes maybe we feel we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. But there are times our faith is not as strong as in others. And many of those times it's because of the situations that we find ourselves in. Here is a promise. 118th Psalm. One of those, just in the midst of all these psalms, here's one verse that it took me a long, long, long time to find. And then when you do find it, you kind of pop yourself in the head and say, why didn't I see that earlier? I could have used that earlier. 118th Psalm, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. Don't forget that. And in the midst of all the psalms, maybe you have not seen that before. Underline it or just make a mental note. But let's not forget that. The Lord is on my side. Even when we don't feel it. The Lord is on our side, even when life in a fleshly world doesn't seem to match with that. But that's the promise. The Lord is on our side. It's essential that we rely on His promises, not our emotions. Because in those trying times, in those stressful times, if emotion is what we are relying on, emotions can deceive us. We've all been deceived by our emotions before. If emotions are what we are relying on, emotions make us emotional. How's that for a truism? And sometimes when we're behaving emotionally, we're not behaving in the best manner. There are promises we can rely on. He is trustworthy. God is there for us. And as we sing the song sometimes, you have promised. And I believe that's where Ruth was in her situation. That's where David was in his situations. That's where Job was. And that's where we can be. We have promises. Look back to the 56th Psalm. 56th Psalm. Another Psalm of David. We read 2 Samuel 22 earlier, which actually is a Psalm listed in the Chronicles of the Kings. But here's a Psalm of David amongst the Psalms. If you look in that little introductory paragraph in the first little section there, it says that this was a Psalm of David when the Philistines took him to Gath. So this was a Bible study, Bible class. I would say, tell me about Gath. Tell me about David beating the Philistine lands. This takes us back to when he was running from Saul. Life is so bad at that point. The situation is so bad for David at that point. He figures it is safer to live among the Philistines than it is to live in Israel. That's how lack of safety he felt in his own nation. And he's not just in the Philistine lands. Does the city of Gath remind you of anything? Do you remember who came from Gath? Gath is the hometown of Goliath, the giant David killed when he was born, when he was a young man. That's where David is gone. And so David, in the Philistine lands, in the very city amongst giants and descendants of people whom he has killed. How's David? What's going on emotionally with him? 56 Psalm, read verse 3. In the times I am afraid, I will trust in you. And if any of us think that we're so big and tough and brave that we would not have been afraid in the city of Gath if we had been David, who do we think we are? Of course we would have felt fear. David felt fear. He says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in God. There are promises he's made us. David got it. And if I can get that, and if you can get that, again, how much of our fear, how much of our uncertainty disappears when we just realize God is greater than this. Let me give you one more verse. Isaiah 55. Familiar text. This is memory work. This is the verse that we're well aware of. We usually use it maybe in a different manner than we are today. But the points are still there. Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. Sometimes we typically use this when talking about God's law and the things God has allowed and not allowed and how we shouldn't question that. We just by faith obey it. And that's well and good. Those are exactly right. But we can also use this in the manner we're speaking today. My thoughts, verse 8, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. At the end of the day, we may never understand why we are having to go through what we're going through. We don't have to understand that. At the end of the day, we may not ever know why it's happening. We may never know that. Our trust is not in the what. Our trust is in the who. David had it. Ruth had it. Job had it. Hopefully what we're encouraging us to have is a little bit more of it. We trust in Him who is greater than us. Greater than any situation that we find ourselves in. And we don't have to understand why. Can you imagine Ruth at some point in her life? Can you imagine her ever asking the question, why am I such a young widow? Why did this happen to me? She trusted. David, as king, trying to be righteous, trying to do things right. And here are these rebellions, and here are famines, through no fault of his own in some things. Here is Job. Can you imagine the questions? We don't have to imagine them. We've got the book that where he has his own statements about it. We know how it drove him crazy, what was going on with him. But he trusted in God. And there are things that has happened in our life, and if the trumpet doesn't sound and we don't taste death, there are things that is going to happen in the future. We trust. We don't have to understand, verse 8. Verse 9, we don't have to understand the thoughts or the ways, but we trust. Because He's promised us things, and He's faithful to promises. Turn to Job 19. Let's trust His unchanging nature. His consistency, I guess, would be a way to say that. And remember, Job's life has fallen apart. And he never knew why. To me, that's one of the most interesting things about the whole deal. We probably all have a little bit of stubbornness in us. Darby's not here, so I'll say this without embarrassing her. Many of you remember, she made her own cake last week. And when she was telling people she was going to make her own cake, people looked at her, you're not going to have time for that. I can't believe you're going to try to do that. She had this idea. Once she said, I'll show them. I'll find the time. I can't believe they would think I wouldn't do it. I can't do it. And I thought to myself, ugh, because I know where she got that. She got that from me. Just stubborn. And if somebody says you can't do it, you're going to prove that you can. And I hate that. She learned that from me. And probably a lot of us have got some stubbornness in us to try to prove somebody wrong. And I say that to bring this up. Job never knew why these things was happening. So I want you to imagine your Job. And what if, when all of these things happened, what if God had come to him? And so, Job, let me tell you, I'm really sorry these things are happening to you, but Satan didn't think you could handle it. Satan didn't think that your faith was genuine. He thought you only served me because life was a bowl of cherries. And so I want you to show him that you'll serve even when life is upside down. Now, if you're Job and God tells you that, do you handle this a little differently? Our stubbornness might have kicked in, and our I'll prove him wrong might have kicked in. Job never knew about that conversation between God and Satan. He doesn't know what this is about. Don't you know there were times he was wondering why? He doesn't understand the situation. He doesn't know why. Here's what he knows. Job 19, look in verse 25. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's all he has an understanding about. Wife betrayed. Wife goes against him. Children dead. Every physical possession gone. Health gone. He doesn't know why any of it is happening. All he knows is that his Redeemer lives. And if we were to take that and take it back to up to Job 13 that we read earlier, even if I lose my life, I will trust. I will hope. That's all I've got. I know he lives. One little interesting thing about the Hebrew language. This word Redeemer, and by the way, we sing a song based from this very verse. I know my Redeemer lives. But what we think of in the New Testament as Redeemer, probably a little different. Well, not probably, it is different than this word. The newer translations, by the way, would use the word vindicator. I know my vindicator lives. A little different understanding than the word we use in the New Testament. Job doesn't get it. Job doesn't understand. His ways didn't figure this out. But he said, I trust in God. My hope is in Him. At some point, might not be till I'm dead, but at some point I'll be vindicated. I know He lives. I know my vindicator is there. We don't know the mindset of that song that we sing. I know Leonard, I think Larry, they kind of tag teamed several years ago and did a couple of quarters on songs. They talked about the meaning behind songs, and they gave an introduction of each one of them, the songwriter and the setting that song was written at. And I don't know what the mindset of that person was who wrote the song, I Know My Redeemer Lives. We sing it all the time. But we know the mindset of the one who first made that statement. He didn't have any idea what's going on in his life. All he knows is that there's a vindicator, and he'll make things right in his time. That's trust. That's trusting because God is unchanging. Our circumstances, whatever they may be, they do not change God's nature. They do not change God's mercy. They do not change God's grace. They do not change God's love for us. He doesn't, as we are wont to say, have a bad hair day. He is consistent. And because He is consistent, He is trustworthy. Sometimes me and you just wake up in a bad mood. We might not even realize it until we just start taking people's heads off. The littlest thing. And you just fight back. And you say some smart aleck thing. And We might not even realize we're in a bad mood. Sometimes we might. Other times we don't know we're in it. We don't recognize we're in it. It's just everything affects us and we lash out. That's not our God. Me and you can be inconsistent. Our God is unchanging. And when you put that He is a promise maker with the fact that He is unchanging, when we connect those two together, we can trust Him. And there's where Job is. We trust Him because of what He's already done for us. We might not verbalize it, but have we ever heard someone else say, or maybe thought to ourselves, just, I wonder if God loves me. If God really loved me, how could this happen? How could that happen? Why is so much happening if God really loved me? If God never does another thing for us, we still owe Him our honor because of the things He's already done. He doesn't pass, if He doesn't bestow another blessing on us the rest of our life, He is due our service because of what He's already done. The spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. The precious blood that was shed on our behalf. Abundant mercy. Sufficient grace. Answered prayers, etc. Remember what He's already done for us. Hebrew writer made the statement, He gave the best that He gave His own Son. You think He won't do good for us? He gave His Son for us. You think He can't bestow other blessings? Remember what He's done. And let's appreciate that. Now turn back to Job chapter 7. Job 7. Do we have a friend that you can tell anything to? I hope we all have someone like that. Might be a family member. It might be just a friend. But someone you can tell the most deepest of thoughts, fears, concerns, etc. And you know you can trust them. You know that it will not go beyond their ears. You have somebody like that? I hope we all do. Do you also have loved ones and friends? You don't tell them anything that you don't want the whole world to know. They're not in control of them. They have no self-control. And that includes their tongue. If they know it, they will spill it. They are untrustworthy. And me and you know the difference. God is trustworthy. We can tell our most intimate of thoughts and fears. And He can handle it. Look in Job chapter 7. Now remember what Job has said in chapter 13. Should I die, my trust is in Him. I don't know anything else. I don't understand how all this is happening, but I know my Vindicator lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Chapter 7, read verse 11. I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak of the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job doesn't hold back. He goes to God, and as we might say, he just spills his guts. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He has some fears. He has some frustration. He has some confusion. And God doesn't send a thunderbolt and strike him down for what he just said. God, let me hear it. Let me have it. For those that are parents in this room, for those that will be parents, what we would like is a relationship where the children feel so comfortable with us that they can tell us what they're thinking. They can tell us those things that's troubling them. They can tell us those things that they just don't get and that they're confused about. And because they're going to spill it to somebody. And the advice they're going to get in a locker room or on a bus or at the lunch table is going to be a whole lot different than the advice they may get from a godly parent. What we would like is for them to have a relationship with us that they can tell us things and that we can hear it without exploding. God is such a Father. And He allows us to come to him, to use a present day phrase, to vent. I don't get this. I don't understand this. I'm having a hard time dealing with this. That's what he's saying in verse 11. There's a bitterness in my soul, and I'm going to complain. But just make sure that while we are doing this, that there's that underlying statement that we've already seen. I don't understand this. I'm having a hard time with this, but I trust you. I wish this wasn't happening. I wish this was not my lot in life, but I know my Redeemer lives. We got to balance this out. Me and you are probably really good at the complaining. We might be an expert, an A+ at the venting. We might be a D- at the complete trust. Job trusted. But what we see here is God not just trustworthy, but just as the Psalms. How many Psalms can you look at when David was just expressing his most deepest emotions of his heart? There's a lot of things we're not going to do it, but we could turn to Psalms and we'd run out of time before we ran out of Psalms of how many times David was saying basically, I don't get this. My enemies seem to be winning. And how? Why? Why now? But the underlying in the Psalms was David is the same as we read earlier. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I know you're on my side. God is for me. Turn to the 20th Psalm. We do need to look at one more. We're talking about trust. Every one of us trust in something. Don't raise your hand and say, no, I don't. Every one of us is trusting in something. And it's always been that way. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in their chariots. Some in their horses. Let's bring that up to 2017. Some trust in their job. Some trust in their bank account. Some trust in their skills. Some trust in their health, their age, their strength, whatever. Some trust in fleshly things. That's what verse 7 is saying. Some are trusting in the chariots and in the horses. Stuff. Those of you trusting in your health, take a look around this room. You think that health's going to always be there? No, the day's coming when we will be on canes too. The day's coming when our eyes are not going to see very clear and our ears aren't going to hear very well. You trusting in your health? You trusting in your riches? Well, first of all, that might not even last till the rest of our life. There may be something happen, a catastrophe happen, a world war situation. There's a lot of things that can happen. It might just be another market crash. When money starts disappearing and you don't even know where it went. Every 3 months you get a piece of paper in the mail and money is gone from those Roths and those IRAs. You trust in your riches because they can disappear and you don't even know what happened. You trust in your riches. Remember Ecclesiastes chapter 5? You're going to leave it behind to others. You work for it. You put your trust in it. Somebody else is going to spend it. And they probably won't spend it very wisely. We've got our own horses and chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We all are trusting in somebody. We're all trusting in something. Verse 8. They talk about the horses and the chariots. The stuff. They are brought down and fallen. But we, the ones who trust in God, we are risen and stand upright. We're trusting in something. Now, who is it? Get your songbooks out. Hope this lesson encourages us. Life's hard. It's going to get harder. But we have a God who has made promises. We have God who is unchanging. We have a God who has blessed us. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. The truth is we can't. Couldn't count them with all the calculators in the world. He's trustworthy.
And like Ruth, and like David, and like Job, we can put our trust in Him when we don't understand why or how or when. Remember who He is. Remember what He is. We can trust Him. And we can go to Him with our concerns and fears and frustration. And He can handle that. A Father who wants to hear from us. Wants that communication line. What a blessing that is. Bring Christ your broken life. Trust Him. Because He's made everything possible to fix a broken life. Confess Him. Repent. Be baptized to wash your sins away. If you just want the prayers of your brethren here, you want some accountability, you want some encouragement, we're here to help you. Do it while we stand and sing.